You feel blessed today? Do you love Jesus? Isn't he wonderful? I love the way that we sung the name of Jesus so powerfully today. The name of Jesus should be on our lips all the time. Not as a swear word, but he's our closest friend. If he's not, you know, he can be your closest friend. He'll never let you down. He's never let me down once. He never will. He'll never let you down. Today we're talking about stronger, better together. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise, Sally.
We're on part 36. Next week, Emmanuel will be following on from the, to help us. We're transitioning into something new. We'll share that soon. Normally on Stronger, Better Together, I look at the life of Jesus and we unpack part of that in the life of Jesus. Today, we're not going to look at the life of Jesus. We're going to look at the life of another man who was at the Bible study Strengthened. Put your hands up, please. Who did we talk about on Wednesday? Nehemiah, I gave him a nickname, didn't I? Nehemiah the Navigator. I want to look at this man's life and I want to try and learn something from him. Because this man carried something pretty amazing which we can learn from. And I hope we will learn something from him today that will help us to navigate through this next season in our life. And help us to get to that place that God wants us to be. Not where I want us to go, not where the leaders want us to go, but where God wants us to go. We're going to have obstacles in the way. Did I say that in the Bible study? We were going to have obstacles, didn't we? Big obstacles. There's some challenges ahead of us like we've never experienced before. This is very key for us. Janet, you need to be ready and come and sit at the front for me now. So we're going to look at this man, Nehemiah, in 586 BC, 141 years before, when Nehemiah speaks or hears the news of the walls in Jerusalem being destroyed. 141 years before the walls have been destroyed, the beautiful city of Jerusalem has been burnt with fire. The big rocks, the big stones have been pushed and broken, and they're in the Kidron Valley, they're in the valleys around Jerusalem. The city is destroyed and there is no hope in the city. People had tried to go back. They'd built the temple, but the city, people had tried and they'd failed. They'd given up. It's too big a job. We can't do this. And so for 141 years, this city is laid in ruins. And it is a terrible anathema on the people of Israel. And people mocked the God of Israel. And so when Nehemiah hears this, something happens in his heart. Something is birthed within him. The problem that he hears about becomes his problem. The destruction of the city becomes his mission. God births something in his life and his soul. The rebuilding of the walls seemed impossible, but this man, say this man, rebuilt the walls in 52 days. 52 days. Between 1.5 and 2.5 miles long. It's not a tiny little wall, it's a massive wall you can ride chariots on. Completely destroyed. He rebuilds it in 52 days. What seems impossible to man is possible with God. Do you believe that? And there are things that we will face in the months to come, in the years to come, that seem absolutely impossible. But with God, they are possible. But there's some things I want to learn from this man. You see, one of the things from Nehemiah was his utter dependence upon God. This man knew who God was, and he knew exactly who he was. He knew how powerful God he was, and he knew how weak he was. He knew his God. And he did great things because he knew his God and knew who he was and what his God could do. I want to say that this church, Oasis Family, can learn a lot from this man. And I'm praying right now that God will raise up Nehemiahs in this church. People that have utter dependence on God, that will trust him for everything, that will not lean on their own understanding or lean on their own strength or their own finances, their own abilities, that they will actually throw themselves onto God and believe God for the future. For your family, for your unsaved family, for your church family, for this town that desperately needs God right now. And no party will bring that in. We're fortunate we have Emma here who serves really faithfully. Vote for her, by the way. Not because of her party, but who she is. Okay? Vote for her. What I want to say to us today is that this man, there was something about him where he drew from God all he needed. And as he drew from God, he was able to give out and fulfill the mission that God had for him. I've said to us sometimes, we cannot give out to God if we're empty. If our well is dry, we can't give out. You can't give out to people if you don't top up your well. If you don't spend time with God, if you don't fill up and have that time with God, you can't give out to somebody else. But even when you're empty, you can still draw from God because he never runs out. Amen. Does that make sense? I want to say to us, if we are going to be stronger, better together, we're coming towards the end of this series now. That doesn't mean we finish. It means that we need to utterly depend on God and draw from God all that we need. So this man, Nehemiah, he was born a Jew. He was born in captivity. He wasn't in captivity because of anything he'd done, but because of what his forefathers had done. What had they done? They turned from God. And because they turned from God, God says, if you don't follow me, then I'll scatter you to the ends of the earth. And he's living in their sin. He's living in the consequences of the sin, the father's sin. He hasn't caused this. It's not been his problem in a sense that he's in captivity. But what he did, what we find is he becomes the cupbearer. Those who are in the Bible study, what did we say the cupbearer was? Chief of staff, top man. He's top man, king's top man, because he trusts his life to this man. Did this man just suddenly get the job? No. There was something in his character, something in his life. He'd grown up to become a certain kind of person that a king could trust. He grew up to be a godly man that knew his God. And I want to say to you, I believe that prayer was part of his life. It didn't just happen on a Sunday morning when we get together or on the Sabbath. For this man, it was a lifestyle. And I believe this as I study it so much. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more. Now, Nehemiah could have said, this isn't my problem. I haven't caused this. Hundreds of people had gone through, thousands of people had gone through Jerusalem and looked at it and go, oh, isn't that bad? But nobody had stepped up to the plate. Can I tell you what? Oasis Christian Centre need to step up to the plate. And we're going to step up to the plate. We're going to see what God wants us to do. And this church is going to step up. Do you remember I got people to step up the other day? How many in this room came to the front and stepped up? Put your hands up. We're going to step up to what God has. He could have said, you know what? I've got a comfortable position here. I'm the chief of staff. I taste the king's wine. I get the best food. I have the best clothes to wear. The best place to live. Do you know what? It's an easy life for me. Why should I be bothered? Why should I care about what's happening thousands of miles? 1,500 miles away, actually, it was. Taking months to get there. Why should I care? But that problem became his problem. That burden became his burden. And we find that it says in the month of Kislev, say Kislev. Kislev is November to December. He starts to pray. And he prays until the month of Nisan. Say Nisan. It's not a car, it's a month. That's in March or April. How many months between November and April? 5 months. Up to 5 months this man prayed. That's between 120 and 150 days. Every day he prayed. And he wept. And he cried before God for the state of Jerusalem. How many days did it take him to build the wall? How many days did he pray? 150 days, probably. He seeks God's face. He falls down in front of God. And you know, this man, not only did he after 50 days do this remarkable thing of building the walls, rebuilding the walls, he spent 12 years there. Do you know why he had to spend 12 years there? Remember those that came to the Bible study? Must have been good. To what? Bringing moral reform. It took him 12 years to get the people back to the relationship with God that they should have had in the first place, but they didn't have, because they're so far from God. And he brought the greatest reforms from this time until the time of Jesus, until the time Jesus came. Because he was a man of faith. He was a man of prayer. He was a godly man. So let's look at Nehemiah chapter 1, 1 to 3. The words of Nehemiah, son of that man. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. If you study the book of Nehemiah, you will find that there are 14 times it's recorded in there that he prayed. There were 14 different reasons, in a sense, that he prayed. Now, we're going to look at a few of those in chapter 1. We're going to tractfully learn from that and look at the pattern of how he prayed. And in your notes that I will send you out later today on the back page, there are other references of the number of times he prayed and why he prayed. There were times he was really angry. There were times he was frightened for his life. There are times that all kinds of things would happen, but he prayed to God that God would help him and give him favour. We'll look at that today. When he heard the news, he didn't go to his best friend and start talking about it and say, isn't this terrible? Do you know what he did? The first thing he went to do is God in prayer. How many of us, when we have a problem, we have a phone call, the first thing is we ring up our best friend and start to talk about the problem? Do we do that? I've got a problem. This has happened to my family. I've just lost my job, whatever. First thing we do is pick up the phone, speak to somebody. And I think it's good that we've got friends to do that, and we need that. And we're going to talk about that in the Strength and Bible study in the next one that we do, and the importance of that. But the first thing we can learn from Nehemiah is this. He goes straight to God in prayer. And you are going to, and I are going to have obstacles that will come across our way, which we don't expect. We'll get a slap in the face, we'll get a phone call, we'll get something. The first thing we need to do to learn from Hananiah is we get in the presence of God and we bring it to him. We excuse ourselves from the people around us and we go, just need to go and pray. That's the most important thing that we can learn right now. He went away and he prayed. Nehemiah knew that he had to unburden his heart to God. He knew that only God could accomplish what needed to be done. He was an important man, but he wasn't too important to pray. He humbled himself. He wept before God. He realized that he needed God to move, because without him, there was no hope. There's a guy that I love to read, he's called Cyril Barber, and he says this: the self-sufficient do not pray, they merely talk to themselves. The self-satisfied will not pray, they have no knowledge of their need. The self-righteous cannot pray, they have no basis on which to approach God. If we are going to be stronger together, if all this teaching that we've spent all this time to prepare ourselves to get us ready from where we are going to next and what God is going to do, we need to understand that God is not looking for self-sufficient people. He's not looking for self-satisfied people, people that are proud. He's not looking for self-righteous people. The kind of people is found, can we put the next scripture up front? Here. If my people who are called by name, by my name, that's you and me, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Who wants their sins forgiven? I do. Who wants the land of the sins of this land of England to be forgiven? I do. Get ready, Janet, in a minute. If my people are called by my name, that's us, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. God is looking for people who know their need and will walk humbly before God. People who will pray and seek his face now and who will utterly depend on him. And if it needs be, to take times to fast as well. That's what God's looking for. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. That's what he's looking for. And you think, what are you waiting for God to move? He's waiting for us to do what he's asking us to do. He's been talking to us for a long time. He's speaking. He wants to heal this land. So, on my second point, you need to be ready. Is that okay? I want to learn four, very briefly, touch on 4 points. That Nehemiah gives us a pattern, a way that he prays, because I think this godly man's got something to teach us. Do you know we're lifelong learners? There's always something new we can learn every day. And as I look at this man, I think, do you know what? I can learn something from him. Nehemiah, the navigator, that navigated a whole nation. I got so much to learn from this man. But I want to learn about his prayer. I want to learn about the way he prays. Jesus gives us a pattern for prayer. I'm not going to talk about that today. We might talk about it another time. But Nehemiah also gives us a pattern of prayer. And we're going to look at an acrostic for the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. Say ACTS. We're going to look at adoration, confession, thanks and supplication. Adoration, confession, thanks and supplication. Nehemiah 1 verse 5 to 6. Let's read that together. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. Let's stop there. This is a summary of Nehemiah's regular prayer life. This is how he opens his prayer. He starts with adoration. He starts with acknowledging who God is. Oh, great and awesome God. Do you serve a great and awesome God? Oh, I do. Sometimes I'm a bit afraid of the kind of God that I serve, because he can do anything. And it's scary to come in his presence. When we recognize who he is, great and awesome God, he brings his adoration. He acknowledges who it is that he's serving, the God of heaven. Yeah, the king he's serving is great. He's powerful, but he's not like God. And he brings his adoration to the God whom he loves. He acknowledges God is sovereign. He acknowledges God's love. He acknowledges God's faithfulness. And he acknowledges God's ability to hear and see all things. Do you know that God hears and sees all things? Do you know that? Even when the lights are off in the dark, when no one else sees. He hears what we say. He sees what we do. We need to acknowledge who he is. Nothing is hidden from him. The psalmist tells us that. So acknowledge adoration. Confession. Come and join me. Thank you. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 6 to 7. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night. for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. I confess. What does he confess? Probably his own sin. God, I haven't been the kind of person you really want me to be. I've tried, I've failed. This is our prayer. And this is what we should do regularly, confess our sins to the Lord and one to another. That's what the Bible tells us. Because we're going to get it wrong. We're going to be tempted one day and we're going to make a mistake because we're human. But we confess our sins so that we keep short accounts with God. But he's confessing the sins of his fathers. And the people of Israel who aren't following him. And the people are living in the consequences of sin. And I have to tell you, in our nation, we live in the consequences of sin. We have what we have because of sin. Isn't that true? We've passed laws. Not we, but the royal we. Have passed laws that are not godly laws. And the churches remain quiet. We've gone, we better not say anything, had we? Can I tell you, this church will say something and not remain silent because we're stepping up and we'll speak out for that which is wrong. It's really important. Let's just share something.
There's a Christian legal charity called Christian Concern. I don't know if anybody else knows about that. Yep, okay. So some of you may not already know what I'm wanting to bring to you. They support Christians who've been penalised for standing up for their faith. I've recently read on their website about a proposed amendment to the law decriminalising abortion, which would effectively allow abortion up to full term by women using self-administered medication. I think this is wrong. I think Jesus also thinks it's wrong because he loves unborn children. But he also loves the women who are contemplating this and knows that this would really wreck their lives if they did the wrong thing, leaving it very late. It's also very dangerous to the mothers. So if you feel strongly about this, please contact your MP. And there's an article on the Christian Concern website giving a guide about what to say and how to contact your MP. So if you do this, please give your name and address in the email or letter, so that your MP knows that you are in their constituency. They can only reply to people who are actually in their constituency. So if you start your email with dear whoever they are and their name, ending with yours sincerely, e.g. it's Rachel McLean for Redditch. So if anybody would like to any further help about this, please see me after the service. But also pray about this because it's very important in God's heart.
So I hadn't planned that we would do that, but when we spoke this morning, I felt that we should do that now. Father, we ask today that, Lord, the things that are in our nation right now that do not please you, we pray, Lord, that they will change. We repent of those things. We openly say, Lord, we're sorry that these things are in our nation. We want you to heal our land. What we've heard today is one of just a number of things that happen that are going on, where people are so far from you that they can't make choices. And we do pray for those ladies that have gone through that abortion or contemplating it. We pray, Lord, that you will surround them with your presence and you will help them. Because, Lord, only you can help in situations like this. We pray for healing for those that have gone through it. We ask, Lord, in this room that you will minister to those ladies that have had that situation. Lord, we don't judge. Our job is not to judge. We never do. It's not our place. Lord, heal and minister. But Lord, we repent of those things that we've done wrong in our nation. And we pray, Lord, heal our nation. In Jesus' name. Thank you. We need to confess our sin and to confess the sins of our nation. If Jerusalem was going to be rebuilt, it had to be rebuilt on confession of sin. Do you understand the importance? You cannot rebuild where there's sin. You build on foundations that are not strong. We're going to build on strong foundations here. The winds will blow, the storms will rage, but the house will stand because it's on solid ground. If you need to confess your sin, do it today. If there's something that needs to confess, just do it. Spend some time with the Lord. Sort it out. And we will be praying for our nation in the times to come. And we will ask God to forgive our land and to heal it and to restore it to be a great nation full of godly people where the living God is glorified in everything. And laws that are passed are based on godly wisdom. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you want that? Then we can't remain silent. There is something we must do. What was the third word beginning with T? Thanksgiving. We're going to give God thanks in everything. This man gave thanks. He does it by reminding himself in verse 8. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen to be a dwelling place for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Nehemiah returns to the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 28 and 30. In chapters 28 and 30, God meets with his people. And God says these things: I want you to be my people. But if you're going to be my people, there are some things that I'm expecting you to do. If you do what I ask, I will bless you. If you don't do that and you turn away from me, then I will not bless you. In fact, there will be judgment. There's both blessings and judgment. And the reason the people of Israel were scattered was because of judgment, because of sin. I want to re-emphasize that. They were scattered because of judgment, because of sin. But God's plan was to bring them back. And Nehemiah, in part of his reforms, is supposed to be part of God's plan. Nehemiah believed that God would be merciful and bring them back to the land. Do you know what I believe? That God wants to be merciful to the United Kingdom. Do you believe that? I believe God wants to bless. He's waiting to bless this nation. His hand is ready to go. He just wants us to repent and make sure that we're living, choosing to live holy lives. Because he doesn't want to pour out stuff on us that we're going to waste. Pastor Manuel talked about new wineskins. And God started in that first time he was going to preach, and then asked him to preach again. To start to share his heart that he wants to pour out. Who likes wine? Come on, you can put your hands up. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because the wine, the new wine, is going to be fabulous. And God's already saying he wants to do that. You know, we need to thank God for what he's done. Thank God for little Keanu. We thank God for Charlotte and Mark's two children that in the natural shouldn't be here, but they're here. And Luke's celebrating his sixth birthday in a few days. He had his party here. In the natural, he shouldn't be here. That's something to thank God about, isn't it? We should thank him. His praise should ever be on our lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips, even in the bad times. Even when the disasters comes. Thanksgiving. This church has got to be a church that thanks God. Where we thank him for everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm writing a book, and one of the chapters in the book is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we're going to thank God in all of those circumstances, because in it, we will see God move and we will see answers to prayer. Supplication, I need to move quickly. It's 11:58. Nehemiah brings this as a conclusion to prayer. Verse 11, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Who delight. Do you delight in revering the name of God? Do you? You're very quiet. Delight in revering his name. Give your servant success today by granting him favour in the presence of this man. Do you know what he's doing? He's asking God for favour. Who wants God's favour? I do. Do you want it? It's okay to ask for God's favour, you know. It's not wrong. Oh, we can't do that. Why not? If you're a child, do you not ask your mum and dad for good things? If you want something, do you not ask? How much more does your Heavenly Father want to bless you? This man needs favour in front of the king. Why? Can anybody remember why he needs favour? Who came to the Strength and Bible Study and wants to shout out why he needed favour with the king? It was a good one. Because you're not allowed to be sad in the presence of the king. He'd spent 120 days praying. He'd wept before God. He'd humbled himself. He's in tears. He's a broken man. When you come in front of the presence of the king, to come in front of the presence of the king, try to say that with your wife's teeth in, and you're sad, meant you'd be put to death. You'd be killed. So he's sad, and he comes, he's waiting for the right time, the opportune time, to come before the king, and he's saying, God, give me favour, because I'm going to do it right now. I'm going into the king. He's waiting for a cup of a glass of wine. When I go in, I'm going to be sad. Because it's breaking my heart, God, this, and we need an answer. We need a breakthrough. And so he comes in front of the king and he humbles himself and he shows himself to the king, knowing full well the king could put him to death. And the king says, what's the matter, Nehemiah? Why are you so sad? And Nehemiah gets the answer from God. He says, King, it's because the city I love so much is broken down in ruins. And you'll understand this, king, because you're proud of your city. And you wouldn't want your city to be like this, would you, O king? God gives him the way to speak to the king. And the king gets it. He goes, yeah, I understand what you're saying, Nehemiah. And the king says to him, what can I do for you, Nehemiah? What would you like me to do for you? All this time of preparation, planning. I said in our studies, why we are praying, we're planning. This church is praying and planning for what God wants to do. He'd been praying and planning. For this, waiting for this time to happen. It's about to happen. And the first thing, when the king says to him, what do you want me to do? What does he do? He prays. He goes, thank you, God. You've answered my prayer. Lord, continue to give me favour. And he asks the king what he needs. He petitions the king for letters of favour. And the king says, yeah, whatever you want, Nehemiah. And he says, but I'm going to be away, king, for 12 years. That's okay, Nehemiah. I'm going to let you do that. Is there anything else you need, Nehemiah? And he goes, oh, well, probably a lot of things, actually. And the king says, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you more than you ask. I'm going to give you much more than you ask. I'm going to send my whole captain of my army with you to protect you. So when you arrive in Jerusalem, you're going to get a great welcome. And the people that try and stop you, they're going to have to deal with me. See, already the people of that land had written a letter to the king. And King Artaxerxes had stopped the building because of the lies that these people in that land had said. But now Nehemiah gets favour. Now the king reverses his decision. Now the king sends his favour and gives him much more, abundantly more than you can imagine at this time. And I want to say this to you. I believe this, that God wants to do immeasurably more, abundantly more than we will ask him. Some of you are quiet. If you want what you've got, you have it. But I'm not. I'm not going to have just what we've got now. I'm sorry. I've worked long enough and hard enough. I've prayed enough. I've cried enough just to have what we want now. I want all that God has for us. Everything he has for us and more. Do you? Then we need to start believing it. So we prayed for favour for that little boy, Keanu. We prayed that he would be fast-tracked, that his operation would go really well, that he'd have the best surgeon, he'd have the best care, and he'd be out. Children that have this operation don't come home in a week, do they? Don't come out black and blue. This little boy, look at his face, he's beautiful. Okay, he's got a scar, but do you know what? He'll remember that and go, my God did that for me. And if you're going to have a scar, you need to have a proper one. That's what I say. Look what God did for me. We'll come to land. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. Who wants immeasurably more? I choose to be set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be. Do you want it? Are you willing to pay the cost? Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to seek his face? Are you willing to humble yourself before the Lord and cry? And if he needs fast, and to repent from the things that we've done wrong and stop pretending that everything's okay in the field when it's not? Because then God will heal our land. And this nation will return to its Lord and Saviour. And Jesus loves this nation. And Jesus got plans for this nation. And I'll tell you one of the reasons that Great Britain is remaining silent against Israel, because Great Britain will stand against Israel. We'll stand with Israel. And God will bless us. You may not agree with everything the Jewish people are doing, and I do not. But they are God's chosen people. And any nation that stands against them will come under his judgment. And we're not going to do that. This church is going to stand with the people of Israel, even though we don't agree with everything that they do. So, we're coming into land. Worship team, you need to be ready. Sandra, where's Sandra? We're going to be really quick now because it's 6 minutes past 12. Can you come up and get ready? What is prayer in simple words? Prayer is giving our attention to God in a two-way spiritual relationship where we talk to God and we listen to him. Prayer is a two-way spiritual relation where we talk to God and we listen. Have you ever been with people that talk too much and never listen? You can't get a word in. Sometimes we pray to God and we got all our shopping list of things we want to pray. The first thing we need to do is come, Almighty God, O Heavenly God, O powerful God, I'm coming to you today with a broken heart, and then just listen. Let him speak. It's a two-way conversation between God and us. It's a conversation like a parent between a conversation with a child and a parent. It's natural for us to ask for the things we need. It's natural for us to ask for advice. It's natural to ask God for guidance. My prayer that I'm praying most of the time now is a four-letter word beginning with H. Help. Help. I had a phone call this week. I'm trying to talk to somebody. I'm going, God, help, because I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to this person. If you don't help me, I'm going to get it wrong. Why is prayer so powerful? Well, let's just look at quickly some scriptures. John 14, 13 to 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Matthew 21, 22. If you believe, you will receive for what you ask in prayer. Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Just some scriptures that you'll find in your notes today. So why is prayer so powerful? There is nothing like consistent prayer life that will move our faith from the realm of religion to relationship. Consistent prayer will move our faith from religion, we do it because we religiously do it, into a relationship with Jesus. Consistent prayer will grow that and develop it. Consistent prayer releases the power of God's blessing on our lives and our circumstances. So what is the main purpose of prayer? God wants us to communicate with him through prayer. He always listens when we pray. Daily prayer can bless you, your family, and those that you pray for. But I want to tell you what else prayer is good for. Daily prayer. For your peace. To give you peace. If you haven't got peace in your life, you need to pray and ask God to give you peace. Because the peace that God gives passes all understanding. And the only way you and I, when we hit obstacles in our life, that we're going to get through them as we pray, is to pray that the peace of God will come. And if you're not at peace, start to pray. Pray more often. Pray consistently. I believe that you will find the peace of God. And then you will learn about God's plan for you and for this Oasis family. So, in this season of Stronger, Better Together, we are moving towards times of corporate prayer and fasting. I've just given a little hint there of what we're going to be doing. Corporate prayer and fasting. This isn't an option for us as a church. We need to prepare. We need to plan. We need to pray. Prepare, say the word prepare. Plan, pray. Prepare, plan, pray. We need to do it together. I know I've taken up time, I'm sorry, but I need to just re-emphasize this. I've asked elders to come and stand on here because we want to be in agreement in everything that we do as we lead you through this journey. But we can't do it on our own. We have to do it together. And that's the big ask. I'm asking you a big ask. Pastor Emmanuel will speak next week on fasting. I won't be here, I'm preaching somewhere else, but Emmanuel will do that. We're going to talk about it, and this year we're going to do it. And we're going to talk about ways of how we do that. We're going to have seasons where we pray and fast. There are seasons coming up at Easter and Pentecost where we're going to seek God's face to heal our land and to heal us. Would you all stand? Father, I thank you today for your beautiful presence. Lord, we haven't finished yet. The service hasn't come to an end. We're going to pray for the sick. And Lord, we pray you'll show your power and you'll heal people and you'll heal our land. But Lord, we stand today, Oasis Christian family, as a bunch of ordinary people who know that the task ahead is too big for us. But with you, nothing is impossible. We humbly bow before you and surrender our lives to you today. And we ask you, Lord, keep us in that place where we have to be utterly dependent upon you. We have to be in that place where we can't become self-sufficient or proud, self-satisfying. We can't, Lord. We can't go down that path. We have to stop. We have to change. We have to be different. So, Lord, humbly we submit ourselves to you as a church, and we ask you now, Lord, to lead us to that place. Give us your favour, give us your blessing. Lord, we need it. And so, Lord, as we pray for the sick now, Lord, hear our prayer. Your ears are ever attentive and your eyes are ever attentive. That's what the scripture says. Your ears and your eyes are ever attentive. You're listening, you're watching. Lord, and as we come now and pray for those that are sick, we ask you, Lord, to lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seats.